Welcome to the show. I hope you've had a great week. Thanks a lot for joining us once again this week. Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk to a runner who just did the New York City Half Marathon. Her name is Christy Raz, and she wrote about it on her blog and talked about the entire experience of running a half marathon in New York City. I know lots of people who have done the New York City Marathon, but this is the New York City Half Marathon that takes place in the spring. Really interested to hear her story. Also, we're going to talk to a runner who has completed the Ottawa Marathon every single year that it's been run. And he's going to be taking part in a new feature at Ottawa Race Weekend this year. It's a torch relay. They've actually gone to the trouble of setting up a torch relay leading up to Ottawa Race Weekend using the flame from Marathon, the city in Greece. So that flame will be brought to Ottawa, and then a group of runners will actually carry the torch across the city of Ottawa, a route that will take about 42 kilometers, about the distance of a marathon, all the way to Ottawa City Hall. And one of the runners who will be involved in that is Bill Williams, who has done the Ottawa Marathon. I think this is now going to be his 39th. I think that's the number of years that it's been running. And also ahead, Ryan Grant is going to join us with SoulFit Orthotics. He's been on the show many times before. He's talked about injuries and treatment and the minimal running shoe type of approach that many people are turning to now. So he's been on as an expert many, many times. This time, he's going to talk about an incredible experience that he just had. He went on a pilgrimage to Ethiopia to train with some of the fastest runners in the world. Ethiopia, of course, like Kenya, is a hotbed of running in Africa. And Ryan is going to join us to talk about this three-week journey that he went on, training and talking running with some of the best athletes in the world. He'll join us coming up later in the show. By the way, Ray is off this week. He will be back with us next week. And we had a great event this week here in Ottawa to raise money for his charity, Impossible to Possible, a very inspiring event. Ray's charity, his foundation, raises money to help kids go on these incredible journeys. And he was able to tell that story. We had a silent auction and a live auction. Lots of people turned out at Bridgehead here in Ottawa, and it was just a great event and a great success. So you can find out more details about Ray's foundation at impossibletopossible.com. That's impossible, the number two, and then the word possible, impossibletopossible.com. And Ray will be back on next week's show. All right, so let's get to our first guest. We're going to tell you all about the Physio Race that's coming up in just a couple of weeks on April the 21st here in Ottawa. It's an event that's been around for a long time in this city, and one of the organizers is Mireille Charette. Mireille, thanks for joining us on the show.
Thank you.
So let's talk about your own running, first of all. You do some running yourself when you're not organizing events like the Physio Run?
I do, yeah. I do enjoy short distances in the winter, but usually I start training for a half around this time of year.
And do you have anything in mind for this year?
I'm looking at either the Niagara International or perhaps Montreal.
Okay, so something in the fall then.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. And what is it that you get out of running?
You know, it just makes me happy, I guess, is the best thing to describe it as. You know, it's kind of my out, and I can think things over, and yeah.
And when did you get involved with the Physio Run?
It's been about 4 years, I guess, now.
Okay, and what made you decide to do that? Obviously, you work in this area. That's part of it, right?
I do, yeah. We're about 10, 11 volunteers that organize it. Most of us are all physios. The other race director, her name is Erin. She kind of got me into it, and so she'll be very pregnant at the race. Hopefully, she can still make it because she's due the week after. So I'll be kind of taking over.
So you have a pregnant race director.
Absolutely, not very just pregnant.
Not just a pregnant race director, but an 8.5 months pregnant race director.
Exactly. Yes.
Wow. That could put some pressure on you and the other volunteers.
A little bit, but I think we can handle it.
Right. So tell us about the event.
So it's April 21st. It's a Sunday. So hopefully we get some nice weather. It's our 25th anniversary this year, so we're making it a bit special. Like I said, it's all volunteer-based, and it all goes to charity. So half of proceeds goes to a different charity every year. This year, it's TROT, the Therapeutic Riding Association of Ottawa-Carleton. And what they do is therapeutic riding horses for people with disability. And then the rest of the money go to physiotherapy research.
All right. And tell us about that. What kind of research does it go towards?
So we have a bursary that goes to the University of Ottawa, somebody in the rehab department. And the rest of it goes to the Eastern Ontario District, which is part of the Ontario Physiotherapy Association, and that's for continuing education.
And, of course, as a physiotherapist, you would have some runners as your clients, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's right. So we do have clinic sponsorships, and so we send all our posters to our clinics, and hopefully we make all our clients a little bit better and being able to be back on the road.
So tell me about the distances in the physio race.
Yeah, so we have a 2 kilometer, so that's, a family kind of fun run. And then there's a 5 kilometer and the 10 kilometer, and both the 5 and the 10 kilometer are timed.
Okay. And you mentioned it's been around for 25 years now in Ottawa. That's a long history for an event like this.
It is. It started fairly small, and, as one of the race directors now, often meet people who said, oh, yeah, I did it, 20 years ago. So that's always fun. But it has grown quite a bit in the past, about 5 years, since Erin kind of took it off as her little project. And so last year we were about 500, and this year we're already over 600. So it's quite exciting.
This is more than normal then.
It is,
that's great.
So it's kind of fun for our 25th.
Yeah, that's great. And you're looking for volunteers as well. You're short on volunteers at this point, is that right?
We are. So with a big event like this, we usually, try to get at least 60 volunteers because we have, lots of different jobs. So you can be inside or outside. So if you're interested, Regan and Sophie, who are volunteer coordinators, would be happy to hear from you. And you can email them at volunteers@ottawaphysiorace.ca.
All right. Well, Murray, it's great to talk to you, and good luck in the final preparations for the race. And I wish the best of luck to your race director as well, because she's got a couple of major events coming up in the month of April. And hope it's a successful event. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. I just want to thank our corporate sponsors also, which is KineMedics, Ontario Medical Supply, and Arthur Canada.
All right. Thanks, Murray.
Thank you so much.
Murray Charette, who is one of the organizers of the Ottawa Physio Race that's coming up on April the 21st. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to somebody who just did the New York City Half Marathon. Really interested to hear about her experiences. Christy Raz is a runner who's written about this on her blog. She'll tell us all about it coming up next. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show. Thanks once again for joining us this week. My next guest completed the New York City Half Marathon on March the 17th. Christy Raz does a blog called Blog for an Average Runner. Christy, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much for having me, Mark.
Thanks a lot for joining us. So tell me what the experience was like of running New York City.
Had to be the most fun I've ever had running, I have to say.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
No, I'm a limited experience runner. I've only been at it for a little less than 2 years. But that was the time of my life at that race.
What made you decide to do that race? And again, I want to stress for people that, so there's no confusion, this was the New York City Half Marathon, which they do in the spring, not the New York City Marathon that happens every November. Or not every November, of course, because it didn't happen last year, but most Novembers.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, that'll be a future goal for me, but this
okay,
is
good.
The Half Marathon. To be quite honest, the only reason I even kind of learned about it was I had decided I wanted to do a destination race. I'm a teacher, so I have March break. So I literally Googled half marathons, North America, March, and that's what I did.
Okay.
Came across the New York one. Again, kind of new enough to this that I didn't even notice the fact that you either had to qualify or enter a lottery. So spent a couple days thinking about it, got really excited about doing it, and then realized I was going to have to enter a lottery to do it. So I thought I might as well try, and my name was drawn.
Really?
Yeah.
And this is probably at a difficult time to get into some of these New York events, because I know that that was one of the options that they gave people who didn't run New York City's marathon last year, was that they could run the half marathon instead. And so maybe that didn't apply to this year, though, did it?
You know what? I'm not sure, because I think that decision came out after the lottery, but I don't know if maybe they opened up some more spots or something for this year.
Right, so maybe it didn't affect you, but still, getting in by the lottery for any of their events is a big accomplishment.
Well, yeah, I have to admit I was very surprised when I did, but I've since found out, and I don't know this for fact, but I think as an international runner, you have a bit of a better chance because they're not entirely clear how the lottery is done, but it seems to be that they divide it into three groups, so international, American, and local to New York, and that they just keep drawing from each pile. So if that's the way they do it, realistically, there's not going to be as many international entries as there are New Yorkers.
Sure.
So I think your chances of getting in, I think, are higher.
So what was the race itself like?
The race was, you know what, from the beginning to the end was just fun. I'm saying from the beginning, it was awfully cold waiting in the starting corrals. So, you know, that part you kind of had to bear through. But the race started at 7:30 in the morning, and you already had lots of people out. They had bands out. You never felt like you were running alone. There are parts of the race where I just don't really even remember running. You're just enjoying things so much. Central Park's gorgeous, so definitely a highlight of the race for me was running around that. But, you know, it literally the first time it's happened where I kind of hit the end and went, my gosh, I'm almost done, 21 kilometers, and I hadn't even realized I'd done that many. So it was that much fun.
That's always a good sign.
Yeah.
And so what was the course itself? Where did you start?
We started in Central Park, and so we did a counterclockwise loop so that you got kind of your hilly section of the race done early. And by the time you exit the park, that makes about, I think it was about the 10K mark. Then you headed down 7th Avenue straight to Times Square, which was incredible in itself. And I know I've since heard a lot of New Yorkers say that's their favorite part because they actually get to run through Times Square.
Which you don't get to do in the marathon.
That's right, yeah. To be quite honest, in terms of as a tourist seeing the city, I think the route for this is probably more interesting than the marathon just because you really do see every kind of iconic part of Manhattan. Because once you've done the park, you get to see Times Square. You head over to the West Highway, and you follow along the river. Now, I know you should be able to see Statue of Liberty. Believe it or not, I forgot to look for it when I was running.
Well, it's far away.
Yeah, so I should have looked off in the distance, and I didn't. But and then you head down through an underpass through Battery Park, and you finish up in the Seaport.
Okay, so you finish up in the Seaport.
I do, yeah.
So unlike the New York City Marathon, which finishes in Central Park, this starts in Central Park and finishes somewhere else.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
And I know, I think part of the idea, I think last year may have been the first year they did finish up there, and this year part of the idea was to try to bring people into the Seaport because of the damage that was done by Hurricane Sandy and trying to get people back in there.
To liven it up a little bit, create some business for those people.
Exactly.
So what was the atmosphere like, and what were the crowds like? Because that's a big part of the marathon, obviously. And I know I keep comparing it to the marathon, but that's the experience that a lot of runners have had. So how would you compare the crowds to what you've heard about the New York City Marathon?
Again, I just found the crowds really supportive. Now, I don't know if maybe at the big marathon you get even more, but I have to say I don't think there were many quiet spots on the route. There were always people out there somewhere. They had signs up. There were a lot of bands. There was karaoke at Times Square. As I ran past, you know, the big screen was up with all the words, so you could sing along as you ran. But lots of crowds cheering out. I took some advice that I read on another blog, and I made sure I had my name on my shirt. And that way people were shouting out your name all the time, so it was a great crowd.
And I looked at some of your pictures on your blog, and it was also a pretty full race. How many participants are there?
You know, I've heard two different numbers, and I've been meaning to go back and check. I've heard a lot of people refer to 17,000. I thought it was supposed to be about 15, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
But it was crowded, yep.
But that's about the number, 15 to 17,000.
Yeah.
And so would you do it again?
I would do it again in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the whole experience, personally, I had never been to New York before. So just the experience of that city combined with having that chance to run it was just amazing. Really, really enjoyed it, and I would definitely do it. You know, it's certainly one of the more expensive races, I think, in terms of for a half marathon compared to what I've seen around here. But to do it once as a treat to yourself once a year, I think it's worth it.
And from a racing point of view, leaving the experience aside, you wrote on your blog that it was probably your smartest race.
That's right.
This was your third half marathon,
is that right? Yeah.
Why was it your smartest?
I think I thought through this one a little bit more. Like I mentioned on the blog, the first one, you really don't know what you're doing, right? So I just kind of went for it. My first one was the nine-run in Stittsville, and it was a great race, really enjoyed it, but I really kind of made it up as I went along what pace to do and stuff. My second one went out far too fast. That was at the Mission Possible race. And as a result, my last couple kilometers, I really struggled. So this one I went in, I knew everything I'd heard about Central Park was that I was going to have to deal with some hills. So I didn't want to, I actually got myself to a pace that I wanted, and then I made myself stay there. So even though I felt like, just off of adrenaline, going faster, I forced myself to keep an even pace. So my first 15K was a pretty even pace, and my last 5K I was able to pick it up a bit.
Oh, so, good for you.
Yeah, I felt like it was a smart race, yeah.
And you finished in just over 2 hours,
that's
which
right,
is a very
yeah.
good time.
Yep. Yeah, I was very pleased. That's my fastest so far.
So what's next for you?
Well, what's next for me, I mean, like many half marathon runners, I really want to get below that 2 hour mark.
Sure.
So in terms of my races, I actually just registered for the 18K Manitic race this month. So that's at the end of April. I'm going to do the day before Mother's Day half marathon with Somersault.
Okay.
And then go from there. And then come the fall, my plan is to run the Toronto Waterfront Marathon. So that'll be my first full.
You're going to do a marathon this fall?
I am.
Good for you.
And this is the person who swore up and down I would never, ever do a marathon.
What changed your mind?
The reality is the sport is addictive. So it's I don't know, there's something about running, isn't there, where once you get into it,
yeah.
you just want to push it up that little notch and push it up a little notch. And I think part of what helped me decide, too, was I had already registered for the race. I knew it was something I wanted to go for. But really what clinched it for me was after I did the New York race, being able to run 21 kilometers and still feel good afterwards, I thought, now's the time to push it that little bit farther. And see
right
what I can
on.
Do. Yeah.
Yep. Well, good luck with your training, Christy. It is really great to talk to you, and congratulations on the New York City half.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for joining us on the show.
That's great. Thanks a lot for having me on.
That's Christy Raz, who just completed the New York City half marathon. Coming up next, a runner who's about to do his 39th consecutive Ottawa marathon. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show. Our next guest is training for the Ottawa marathon coming up in May. If he completes it this year, that'll make it 39 years in a row, every single edition of the Ottawa Marathon. Bill Williams joins us. Bill, great to talk to you again. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, thanks, Mark, and happy to be on your show.
Well, it's great to have you on the show. So let's go back to, was it 1975, the first edition of the Ottawa Marathon?
About right, 1975.
Yeah.
It seems like a long time ago when you put it that way.
Yeah, well, it is a long time ago, Bill. And I've seen pictures of that event. There was a lot more hair on the runners in those days. And the clothing was a lot different. But what do you remember from that first Ottawa Marathon in 1975?
Oddly, I don't remember an awful lot. I think it was a very bright, sunny day. That's what sticks in my mind. And it was a very small field, 162 runners. And there was a lot of excitement, and people went out and, tried their best to run as hard as they could on the day. And I think it worked out reasonably well for me. I had a pretty decent run. Other than that, I don't have a lot of distinct memories as such. It's one of those things that just fades into the background.
Yeah. Now, were you doing a lot of marathon running at the time?
I had already started marathon running, yes. I ran my first marathon in 1972, I think it was. And there weren't many marathons around in those days. The only one that you could find in this part of the world was the Metropolitan Toronto Police Games, which happened to be the first Saturday in August in Toronto. And it ran from CNE Stadium, went out to Marie Curtis Park along the lakeshore, came back along the lakeshore and ended under the Gardiner Expressway. It was a Saturday morning I ran it. It was hot, 30-something degrees and humid, and there was no traffic control under the expressway. I almost died from the fumes.
Wow.
And just completing that was a major experience, and it was one of those ones where you wonder why you would ever want to do it again, because it was such a nightmare effort that day. But then again, you typically of all marathon runners, 2 weeks after the event, you're back looking for the next one.
Sure, exactly. So you did the Ottawa Marathon in 1975, and obviously you did it again the next year and the year after that. At what point did you start to realize this was an annual event and it was kind of a streak that you had to keep going?
I don't know if I've even realized it yet.
Well, come on now. It's been 39 years.
It has, but, you know, you just take it every year, 1 year at a time. You don't really think about next year too much. I never thought it would keep going that many years, but nobody really had any kind of plan for that even. When they put it on thinking just of that year.
Right.
And then it came back next year, and it started to pick up a little momentum as more and more people got involved. And in fact, at one time, I forget the exact year, it almost folded, in fact.
Yeah, I remember that, too. There was a bit of a boom in running, and it grew and grew, and then it kind of dissipated a little bit, and it was tough to find sponsors, and I think there was a year where it almost didn't happen, and they managed to put it on, and now, of course, it's a huge success story, the whole race weekend is.
Well, the whole running thing picked up.
Yeah, there was a second boom, yeah.
I mean, is there a major city anywhere in the world that doesn't have at least one marathon?
I don't think so.
I mean, there's a tourism aspect to this as well.
You know, yeah.
Niagara put one on back in the 80s because in October in Niagara, there's not the same number of guests, so they put the marathon on and lots of people came in and filled up the hotels. And,
yeah.
And that event is still going, too, so... You know, that's one of the other spins on why marathons keep going. It's in somebody's interest to keep it going.
Now, at some point, though, was there not a year where you thought, maybe I won't run it this year, or where maybe you were going to be out of town, or the training didn't line up with your schedule well, and there wasn't a point where you said, well, I kind of have to do it because I've done it every year so far, and I've got to keep going with this?
I think the last couple of years, I'm thinking more that way about keeping the streak going, but... other than that, no, running has been very much part of my life. It's something that fits in my physiology and my sort of mental outlook and my energy level. I've always needed something to offset what has been in some ways an excess of physical energy all my life. And it just works for me to do some running. And, you know, I run daily and... the health benefits, both physical and mental, are well confirmed now, not just by me, but by, you know, many other people.
Sure.
So, and you know, I've enjoyed the health benefits of running, too, so why would you stop? You know, if you feel good and you keep active and you have this capacity to keep doing marathons, even if it's just one a year at a slower pace every year, just doing it is a very positive sort of feedback for yourself.
And there are two other runners, as I understand it, who have done the race every year since 1975, Howard Cohen and John Stoddart. And in fact, either last year or the year before, we did a little ceremony where we honored you at Ottawa Race Weekend. Have you heard from those guys? Do you know if they're doing it again this year?
They're both doing it again this year. I don't see them a lot in and out. Howie Cohen actually is my family physician, so I see him periodically for my annual medical checkup. And
so your family doctor and you are two of the three runners who have done the Ottawa Marathon every year?
That's right, as
wow.
well as John Stoddart.
Yeah.
As far as I know, John's still hanging in there. He's had a few issues with knee problems and that sort of thing. And, you know, he's the oldest of the three.
Right.
Howie, I think, is a good 5 or 6 years or more younger than the rest of us. So on paper, he's the one who could last the longest.
That's Howard.
That's Howard.
Yeah. So if we were putting odds on who would win in the end, it might be him, just on demographics.
Just by age alone.
Yeah.
Because the older you get, you know, everything becomes a little slower. So.
Sure. So how many marathons have you done in total?
I think I'm up to about 112, something like that.
Wow.
At one time I used to run at least one in the spring and one or two in the fall. And I always like to go to up north to Massey in July, which is a very low-key but very folksy type event. And usually get a call, bunch of hardcore runners that attend that. The Massey event, because it is July, and only extremists would look for a marathon in July, right?
Right, exactly. And And now, do you typically just do Ottawa every year, or do you do any others?
The last couple of years, I've just done Ottawa, although I think of doing one in the fall. I keep saying I'm going to do another one in the fall, but the last couple of years, I've had other issues, distractions, so... But it's still on the cards to do it.
And do you have any favorites other than Ottawa, which obviously makes up a big chunk of the 100-plus marathons you've done? Are there others that you've done that you look back on and say, that was a great event, I really put that one above some of the others?
Well, there was a marathon in Keene, New Hampshire. It was a very small university town. And I did that one about 15 years, I think. And it was a most beautiful event. It was perfectly timed in late September. And it started in the hills just outside town. I went all along winding, rolling rivers, extreme colorful foliage, covered wooden bridges, just a beautiful scenic run to do in the fall. And I think the event is still on. The event actually goes by the name of Clarence DeMar Marathon.
Right.
Clarence won Boston 7 times, I think. So
yeah, I've heard of that event. Yeah.
Yeah. So I really used to enjoy that one. I've done Niagara quite a number of times, too, and had some very positive experiences there. And I've done Massey, of course, quite a number of times. And, other races here, there, and everywhere.
Now, I understand that the organizers of Ottawa Race Weekend are going to be in touch with you because I think they want you to be part of this relay that's going to happen. They're bringing the flame over from Greece, from Marathon, and they're going to have a torch relay that goes through the city of Ottawa on the Thursday before race weekend, and the flame will be lit at Ottawa City Hall. A cauldron will be there, and it will stay lit throughout Ottawa race weekend, and I think they want you to run one of the legs of this relay.
Yeah, they have mentioned that to me. They wanted the three people who've run every marathon since day one to try and do at least one leg. So they're carrying on the tradition, and I think they're making it open to other people to apply. Anyone can apply. But, they'd like to, add some significance to the event and get some people, named runners, hopefully, out and, give the event some publicity. So it's another spin. It adds to the race, gives it a little more character, maybe.
Yeah, and that'll be fun for you and for Howard and John to be there as the three, I think they call you the Ottawa Marathon legends who have run every single edition of the event. It'll be neat for you to have a part in that.
Yeah, I don't think it's absolutely critical, but yeah, it'll be fun to participate and be part of that tradition.
Well, Bill, it's great to talk to you again, and I wish you the best of luck with your training leading up to Ottawa Race Weekend, and good luck as you tackle your 39th straight Ottawa Marathon. Next year will be a milestone year, of course,
yeah,
with the 40th
years,
edition of the event.
It's one of those numbers where it makes you want to keep in there for the number alone.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's also one of those numbers where you say, well, I wonder if this is not time to quit.
But you'll definitely be at the start line next year, I'm sure. You want to do at least 40, right?
One way or another, all things willing, then I should certainly be trying.
Yeah. Bill, great to talk to you. Thanks again for joining us.
Okay, thanks, Mark.
Bill Williams, who is one of three runners who has done every single edition of the Ottawa Marathon. It's been 38 so far, will be 39 next month. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk to Ryan Grant of SoulFit Orthotics, who is back from an excursion to Ethiopia. He's going to tell us all about it coming up next. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show. We're joined now by Ryan Grant from SoulFit Orthotics, who's been on the show many times. And Ryan is just back not long ago from this incredible journey, pilgrimage almost, to Ethiopia, one of the hotbeds of running in Africa, of distance running. Ryan, great to have you back on the show. How's it going?
Hey, thanks, Mark. Yeah, it's great to be here. Thanks again.
So what prompted you to go on this trip to Ethiopia?
It's funny. It's kind of a bit of a story, but I had no plans to go this year, no plans to really go anywhere. But a friend of mine who used to run in Ottawa, who's one of Canada's top marathoners, Rajon Chasen, he was going over for 2 months to Ethiopia, and he posted on his Facebook that he was going and asked if anyone he knew wanted to go. And I was kind of thinking that I'd like to go. I've always wanted to go to Ethiopia, so it was a good chance to go. And it turns out one of the guys who owns the altitude camp that I was at I'd actually raced with him or against him in high school. So it was a bunch of funny coincidences that kind of led me there.
And what were you hoping to do when you got there? And Rajan, what was he going to be doing 2 months in Ethiopia? What was his plan?
Yeah, well, Rajan, he's training for Rio 2016. Watch out for this guy. He'll be quick. He's run 2:15, I think, before, and he's probably in 2:11, 2:12 shape right now.
Wow.
He was actually, he's a training full-timer for running right now, so he was going for 2 months to train with some of these guys at altitude. He's actually back now. He's running the spring runoff in Toronto this weekend, so he'll be quick and someone to watch. But for me, it was just more to go over and run a little bit and just even to have the chance to see some of these guys running. I mean, it's with the business that we do with gait analysis and stuff, just to see some real pure runners and be able to help out where I could was a great opportunity.
Yeah, I'm sure. Now, so if you're a runner like Rajan, is the benefit that you're training at altitude, or is it that you're training with these other guys who are, I mean, that's like coming to Canada to play hockey if you go to a country like Ethiopia to do long-distance running.
Well, we were laughing because, I mean, the analogy we would have made to us going over there, to anybody going over there, because it's really open to anybody. It's not just elites that can go to this place. But, you know, we were thinking if it was an Australian hockey player who all of a sudden came over to Canada and he was passionate about hockey, and all of a sudden he was at the All-Star game race or weekend playing hockey with these guys. Because really, walking around this camp, the 1500-meter Olympic champion from London was there. There was, I think we were watching a satellite feed of an indoor track meet one night, and I think there's 8 Olympians in the room. So pretty amazing to be able to run with those guys. And for Rajan, just even changing his mindset. I mean, if you're over here and you're training with guys who are running, you know, 2:15, 2:12 or 2:11 seems really fast. But you're going and hanging out with guys who are running 2:04, 2:05, it just kind of raises the bar.
So it was an actual training camp? You were actually running every day and going through a specific program with group leaders and that kind of thing?
No, it was kind of interesting. It was in its infancy. It's a place called Yaya Village, and it's kind of more of a hotel setup. It's at 9,500 feet, and there's tons of running trails around the area. It's open to anybody. I mean, because it's new, a lot of the people that are over there right now were groups from, there's a group from Qatar, there's a group from Japan, there was a couple of Canadians, a girl from Great Britain who's an Olympian. And they were kind of going over doing their own thing. So everyone seemed to have their own programs. But there were guides that could take people out for runs as well. But most of the people that are there at this point were elites. But there's nothing to stop anyone, just a runner who's passionate about running and wants to go to Ethiopia from going over.
Wow. So what was it like running at altitude?
Yeah, first couple of days were tough. I've been at altitude before, and I generally do fairly well at altitude, but I remember picking up my bags from the airport, and I went to walk up this set of stairs in my bag, and I was doubled over at the top, winded, so I was like, wow, this is going to be tough. So first couple of days were hard, but I acclimatized pretty quick. I wasn't running that hard anyways, but it can definitely take a few days to get used to it.
And then when you come back from that, do you feel the difference that you were running and training at altitude and now you're training at sea level?
I definitely felt a little bit of a difference. I was only there for 3 weeks, I say only, but I mean, really to get the effects of altitude, they'd probably say about a month, month and a half. And again, Rajan will be there for 2 months. For him to drop down now, he'll have some huge benefits from all that extra air. But I definitely felt it. First couple runs back, getting back here, I felt I had a lot more oxygen.
Now, you mentioned that there was benefit to you as somebody who studies the gait of every runner that you work with, for somebody who's in the business you're in, to be looking at these incredible runners. It's just so much a part of the culture there. What did you get out of that aspect of the experience?
Yeah, I was a bit of a kid in the mechanic store over there. I mean, you know, every runner that seemed to go by was biomechanically pretty much perfect. But it was interesting. When I went over originally, I was thinking, well, I didn't know how much I'd really be able to help, because I'm thinking, okay, these guys are pretty biomechanically sound if you're running a 2:04 marathon. But I was actually really busy. I saw probably about 10 to 15 athletes. And it's funny, like, it really resonated with me. You know, one of the things I really brought back was, on the injury front, we're all the same. You know, so injuries that they're dealing with over there are really the same injuries that we're dealing with over here. And it's really simple things over there. Like, for them, it's less of a, you know, oftentimes the strength and balance, it's usually more a training error. They're just doing too much. They're pushing too hard. They're not taking that 1 or 2 day off and fixing the injury and then easing back in. So it was, I did a few talks over there as well, and it was a great experience to see what those guys do.
So you gave a few talks. I mean, that must have been interesting for you, this guy from Ottawa, Canada, coming over and giving a talk about running, some aspect of running to a group of runners in Ethiopia. But obviously they had something to benefit from what you had to share if they were willing to work with you on, and some of them were turning to you for advice.
Yeah, well, what I find really interesting, it's funny, I did a talk, I think on a Thursday before I left, to a bunch of national team coaches and a bunch of athletes over there. And then 2 days after I got back, I did a talk to a group of runners here, just to kind of a learn-to-run group. And it's interesting how one of the things that I really was pushing over there was getting them to try not to get too caught up with the hype of Western medicine, because I think over there it's perceived that, you know, by running shoes, if they're flashier, if they have more cushioning, they must be better. So a lot of these athletes that are very biomechanically sound are wearing these very cushy, very overprotective shoes and actually running into a few problems. So for them, it's more a push to, okay, you know, ignore that stuff. Let's get you in these lower shoes. I mean, they're perfectly set to be able to wear these things. But coming back here, it's interesting how the same talk was kind of geared more towards, you know, these low drop shoes are great, but there's a lot more work that these people have to do to be able to get to these shoes. So it's funny how each side is kind of looking to have what the other side doesn't have. It's actually kind of they're both doing the wrong thing.
Right. Very interesting. So what was the scenery like? What was it like running in Ethiopia?
Oh, it's beautiful. My thought of Africa, and I think maybe like most people who haven't been, was, you know, very dry and a lot of kind of deserty type areas. But at altitude, it was very green over there and very, very twisty, turny trails and lots of ups and downs. And one of the things that really amazed me, again, about going out with some of these runners to run was how tricky the terrain was and how, I think a lot of times when we go with a group, there'd be one person leading and everyone runs single file. And it wasn't, you weren't even running on a set trail. You know, the leader would, you know, dig off to the right or the left or around a tree. And it was, I mean, just great stuff for the ankles. I mean, great cross training. And also, I think one of the reasons that those guys can handle such high mileage without getting hurt, because they're not, you know, on concrete with it's the same footstep every step they take. Every step's a little bit different over there. So the training was beautiful.
And what kind of running did you do? Did you do a lot of long distances? What types of runs would you do?
I basically held on wherever I could.
Right.
I actually was running with, there was a girl over there from Great Britain who was a finalist in the 5,000, the 10,000. So I basically, when they went to the track, I tried to help her out with some of her workouts and jumped in wherever I could. And I'd go out for the photo shoot runs with Rajan, where we'd stop and take a few more breaks. But yeah, for me, it was more just an experience of going over and be able to hang with these guys where I could and just see a little bit more about how they train and, you know, if there are any secrets, which appears there's not really a lot of secrets. It's just working hard.
Right. And what was it like being in that environment where it's all about running, that you didn't have to juggle a whole bunch of other things? It was really just about getting out for a run and then talking about running and being around other runners, like a training environment.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, I've been to lots of training camps before with triathlon, but, you know, especially everyone's so motivated over there. I mean, everyone that's there training right now is, you know, gearing for Rio. I mean, it's 4 years out, but, you know, they're in the big running push. So even if it was a recreational runner going over, I mean, I kind of consider myself even more of a recreational runner this year, but, you know, to go over and kind of hang out with that kind of mentality, it's hard not to get inspired about, you know, whatever goals you're planning on doing, whether it was someone who was planning on running their first 5K or, you know, doing an Olympic marathon. It's pretty inspiring group to hang with.
And this is something you would do again?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I'd go over in a second to see them. And even the mentality over there, I mean, we wonder why East African runners do so well. And it's one of the big things is they're so passionate about running. I mean, there's pictures of Haile Gebrselassie, who's probably one of the best runners of all time, on the side of planes over there. So it's just, you know, runners are seen as rock stars. So all the kids are aspiring to be, you know, good runners. And it's just the culture of running is phenomenal over there.
Right. It's just part of who they are.
Part of who they are.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And you got to be part of it for a little while. That's very cool. Ryan, thank you very much for joining us. It sounds like you had a life-changing experience there.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Thanks, Mark. You'll have to go next year.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I could swing it quite yet, but and I don't know who I'd be running with if I went over there. But but Ryan, thanks a lot for joining us on the show.
Thanks a lot, Mark.
Ryan Grant from SoulFit Orthotics, just back from an incredible pilgrimage to Ethiopia. Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. Ray and I are going to be back in 7 days. Thanks a lot for joining us this week. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great week.